Friday. And that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week. All in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true Sell or Diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet,
what are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
Today we have with us the great Jeb Blunt.
So my number one tip for salespeople is, A, you have to become aware of your own emotions. If you don't know what you're feeling, how is it possible to control that? So that begins with getting control of that. You guys have assessments that salespeople can take at Gittimer.
LearningAcademy.com, Gittimer LearningAcademy.com.
Go
there for your
We have assessments
right
that
now.
People can take so you can understand yourself. But there's a whole whole list of things that you can do in the book. But awareness is the mother of self-control.
Awareness is the mother of self-control. Cool.
I like it.
Cool.
It's tweetable.
That's good.
That's
yeah.
tweetable, yes.
Yeah.
You should tweet that. So if you have awareness, then you can begin to control your own emotions. And the only way that you're going to be able to influence the emotions of someone else is if you can control your own. And influence, to give you an example, influence is not what you say. It's what you hear. But listening to someone requires a deep amount of emotional control. And the reason is that when another person is talking, you don't feel important. The most insatiable human need.
Awareness is the mother of self-control.
Oh, man.
Period. Jeb Blunt.
Jeffrey is literally tweeting that right now.
We're going to tweet it right now. Why wouldn't we?
I love it. Yes, but now
it's spelled B-L-U-N-T.
Yeah. No, it spelled it without the O.
I know, because that's the way. I mean, if I could go back to 2007 when I wrote my first book, I would have just taken the O out. My pen name would have been Blunt. That way, I wouldn't have to deal with that.
Oh, yep. That's too funny.
So, I think one of the tips is you need to know yourself. The other is you have to create mechanisms that allow you to manage your emotions. If we just are realistic, we're human beings. Most of our emotions happen without our consent. In fact, all of our emotions happen without our consent. We don't control our emotions.
It's involuntary.
So,
do you think
that when a salesperson hears "no" or "not right now," they lose that control and ability to respond? Not all of them, but many, because they're just focusing on that, or
they're like a rudderless ship in the storm, right? Mm-hmm. So their emotions take control and they move them all over the place. And what you want to be as a salesperson is you want to be at the helm. You want to have complete control of your emotions. I'm not saying that you're not going to feel it. Like if someone tells you no, it's a threat.
Or your price is too high,
right.
Whatever obstacle they may throw.
Our brain responds to two types of threats. We respond to a physical threat to ourselves, and we respond to a social threat. And a social threat is being rejected, being cast out, being pushed aside, being treated with indifference, being rejected. And the neurophysical response of being threatened physically or being threatened socially is the exact same thing. Your adrenaline gets released into the bloodstream. Your stomach tightens up. Your heartbeat begins to race. You start breathing faster. And blood begins to rush out of non-essential parts of your body into your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
One of the non-essential parts of your body is your brain, because your brain does not need blood to run away.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, thinking about running away is really not in your best interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a bear is chasing you, that serves you really, really well. But if you're dealing with a prospect and they say no and you can't think, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So for salespeople, it's understanding that so that you can see what's happening, you can get it. And we were talking about this earlier today, just before the show, but it's obstacle immunity, right? You learn how to deal with it, and you face it enough times, you learn mechanisms that allow you to feel the emotion but not be carried away by the emotion.
I want to throw my 2 cents in. When a barrier is thrown to a salesperson, your price is too high, I want to think about it, we need a meeting, I need a proposal, the salesperson becomes emotionally upset.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, I've just given this great presentation, and now here this guy's throwing a barrier at me. But the less upset he or she becomes, the more likely they are to be able to engage mm-hmm. further and take it to the next step. And you can't let that emotion of negative overcome what you're trying to convey emotionally positive. And either way, that emotion is transferable to that customer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They're going to get your positive vibe. They're going to get your negative vibe. They're going to get your confidence vibe or your lack of confidence vibe.
And to get scientific, there's something called emotional contagion. And human beings are masters at feeling what other human beings are feeling. So mm-hmm. if you transfer that emotion to your buyer, then they feel it, whether it's lack of confidence or what have you. And that goes back to – this is the emotional control piece. The feeling happened. You know, there's a neurochemical reaction in the body when you get disappointed. It's happening with and it's not asking you whether or not to feel this way.
It happens whether you like it or not.
Exactly. So you have to have a mechanism for managing it. So one mechanism, if I'm just asking for a next step, is something called a ledge. And a ledge is what some scientists call the magic quarter of a second. So all of the stuff that's happening when you feel an emotion happens just like that. So if you can grab just a quarter of a second to give your rational brain a chance to catch up and turn it off, you mm-hmm. win.
Goodness gracious, please welcome the great Jack Canfield.
Do you have a specific process for or system for actually making the decision?
Yeah, I do. I think the first thing you have to do is decide what are your values. Most people are not clear about what their values are. They're very situational about things instead of clarifying. But so I have a clear set of values. My first value is love. My second value is learning and growing. My third value is fun and joy. You know, so I can go down my values. And if what I'm about to decide is not aligned with those values, not our values, integrity, for example. So when I got, you know, one of the major decisions I had to make was whether or not to keep working for a training company or leave and start my own training. And when I found out that the trainer who ran this whole company was really off target in terms of their integrity in a lot of areas, it was a no-brainer decision for me. I literally decided on a Saturday night and Sunday morning I moved out. And when they came to work on Monday, I was gone. And it was that fast because I knew I couldn't continue to do this. When I got divorced, it was the same situation. It started to get to be a very gray situation. I wasn't having fun. I was not experiencing love. So my two highest values, or two of my three highest values, were being, you know, not working. So if you're clear about your values, the second thing is I do think you have to schedule time, like a block of time, to actually think about it and to think about, like, what are the benefits of doing it? This one, what's the benefits of that? What's the cost of not doing this and the cost of not doing that? And look at what are the payoffs? You know, like if you're thinking about moving, it may be very exciting to move to Miami, but what are the rents down there? Do you know anybody? Have you checked out the coworkers you're going to work with? What's the market like, et cetera? So there is research that one needs to do. But once you've done all the research, I'm a big believer in trusting your gut. So your gut needs to be informed by your mind. That's why you do the research. And then I'll imagine making one decision and I'll notice how I feel. Does my body contract or does my body expand? Do I feel a sense of relief and happiness and joy, or do I feel a sense of burden? And so I trust my body a lot. And there are techniques for tuning into your body. For example, you can do something called the quick coherence technique, which is taught by the Institute for Heart Math, where you simply close your eyes and you slow your breathing down to a count of six in and six out. And you imagine breathing in through your heart, which activates your heart. And then you imagine someone or something, I've got my eyes closed now because I'm doing it with you, is you imagine someone or something that you really appreciate. I usually imagine my wife, or you could imagine your favorite guitar or your dog or whatever. And when you get into that state of appreciation, that's where you're all aligned. Your head, your spirit, your heart, and your gut are aligned. And then you can ask yourself, what is the best decision? And usually you'll get a very clear answer. So that's basically how I do it.
So we deal with salespeople all the time. Is there a way that they can make the decision as to, is this person the right fit for me, or should I continue to follow up even though he's not responsive to me? What do I do in that, in those kind of situations?
Well, I would do something like I would close my eyes. I would get into a state like I just talked about, whether you meditate or deep breathe or however you do it. And then I would close my eyes and I would bring that person into my space. I would imagine them sitting in front of me. And I would have an honest conversation and allow my subconscious or my higher conscious mind to answer back. So if I were imagining you, Jeffrey, I would say, you know, Jeffrey, you know, I've called you back 6 times now. You've only answered me once. Is this, should I be experiencing this as a no? Or do I, is this a situation where I need to persevere? And then what happens is I'll get an answer. It's the strangest thing. This image of you will answer me back. And then I can ask myself, can I trust this answer? Now, another thing I teach is called somatic decision-making. It's called the sway test, where you learn what does your body say when it's no, and what does it say when it's yes. So I teach this to like 1,000 people at a time. Everyone stand up. They say, close your eyes and ask your body what a yes answer will be. And your body will either sway forward or will sway backwards. And just wait for an answer. And 98% of the people will actually sway forward. I can watch the whole group just start to do that. And then some people go backwards. That's how it works for them. Then I'll say, what is a no answer? Just ask your body, what's a no answer? And it'll go backwards. Now, test it. Make sure it's calibrated correctly. What is my name, Jack? You only ask yes or no questions. If it goes forward when it's supposed to be a yes, and you have to just wait and see what happens. Then you know, how, am I 49 years old or am I 74? Do I live at this place with my mother's name, Ellen, whatever. Once you can trust the answer, now you can ask things like, should I pursue this? Should I not do that? Now, it sounds a little woo-woo, but it actually works for me very, very well. There's nothing against asking for advice. There's nothing against researching. There's nothing against, you know, asking other people, if you work with this guy, what do you think, etc. But at some point, you have to decide, and I trust that.
Welcome, everybody, to Motivation Monday.
This week's list comes courtesy of good friend and 3-time guest, Anthony Iannarino.
Ooh.
So thank you, Anthony.
I'll text him and let him know he's on today.
This list today is 5 reasons your sales results are suffering. All right? Ooh. So we're going to start number 1.
You suck.
That is actually somehow not on the list. But
yeah, that's on your list.
That might make Jeffrey's list.
That's 5.5.
Exactly. That would be the 5. That would be the 0.5 from Jeffrey's list.
All right.
Today we have 5 reasons your sales results are suffering besides the fact that you suck. Number 1, not controlling the process. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's okay. In other words, what we're trying to do is make sure that the customer or the potential prospective customer understands what your purpose is and how that benefits him or her.
And I think like process, meaning the sales conversation, that controlling the next step, so knowing when that next appointment is going to be, managing those conversations effectively and efficiently so that you actually have a process, because so many people just jump into it and have no process whatsoever. Mary, who's on our team and is now getting into sales, has been working diligently for about 3 weeks to firm up exactly what her process is going to be before she even gets into selling. Okay, so before she even makes that initial outreach, she's busy defining her process, perfecting her process, and it's about to launch this week. So I think that upfront work to really define what your process is so important.
2.
Number 2. That was good input, guys. Number 2, we got not using the right medium for the outcome. So you rely too heavily on emails, communication form, and your faith has the ability to generate the outcomes you need is not only unfounded, it is reckless. So not using the right medium for the outcome you want.
An occasional short email, maybe a proposal over email, but phone calls, text messages, and face-to-face meetings must prevail.
Did you say proposal?
Jen.
Oh, different kind of proposal.
Yeah, let me do the jokes.
No, you know what? I think that people want to use, like, salespeople, diehards, listen. You want to use the communication that you feel most comfortable with.
Yep.
But that may not be the communication that your prospect prefers or feels most comfortable with. Like, for example, if you're selling me something personally, I prefer to text. I hate email. Okay. If you email me something, I'm probably not going to respond and it's going to get lost in my email. Ooh. Okay. But
that's why I've sent you all those emails and you haven't responded to me.
respond to your emails, honey. Oh. I think.
Okay, cool.
But I hate email. Okay, so if you constantly email me, you're probably going to lose the sale. But if you text me, I'm going to respond right away, unless I'm with a customer or filming Motivation Monday, because that would be rude to my diehards.
So let me share with you what Jen's text is.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do
it. Okay, please don't. Yeah, but the point is, the point is you really need to figure out, it's easy, you can just ask, what method of communication your prospect prefers, and then choose their route, not your route.
Perfect.
What's number three, Steve?
Number three, we got fearing the wrong danger. Avoiding conflict or problems or challenges don't tend to improve things. Tiny monsters grow up to be big monsters, and you are always better dispatching them when they are manageable.
I think this is pretty easily defined. Of when do I close? Am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? And second-guessing yourself to death, and you lose mentally, you start losing.
So this is what I love about fear, okay? For so many of you, fear creates an action. Inaction. Let me say that more slowly.
Yeah.
Okay? And so if you don't take action because you're fearful that you're not going to get the response that you want, then by not taking action, you're actually getting the response that you don't want because nothing's happening. Okay, does that make sense?
Say that three times real fast.
Okay, if you do not
no,
take...
No, I get it. Let me...
Okay.
If you don't take the action, you're not going to get any kind
you're
of
you're getting the same exact result that yeah. you're scared of, but it's actually you choosing to not take action, and so you're creating the response that you don't want.
Don't
so just take the freaking
schmuck.
Action, okay? Get over the
Hit
fear.
Hit the send
just
button. Call the person on the phone. Schedule a meeting.
Exactly. Just do it.
Yeah.
And you know what?
No, what?
Wow, we have so, I love this. You guys, this is awesome. Dan, you're
come on,
here.
Come on.
Howard, Brian, this is freaking awesome. Thank
okay,
you guys
great.
For chiming
number
in.
Number four.
Make sure you share this out. Number four on the list.
Number four. I'm not afraid to read number four, so I'm manifesting that for
that
myself.
That is great,
number
Steve,
four,
Bob.
Not prospecting using a sequence.
What do you mean?
So if you make a call to your dream client in the first quarter of the year, followed by a call in each of the successive quarters, you're not prospecting, you are dabbling.
Mm. That's like, let me try. Okay, take five steps back. Let me try again.
Yeah.
No, take five steps back.
So would you guys say that this means that you need to have a set sequence in your prospecting?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Not just a sequence, a value sequence. There
yes.
has to be something that can potentially connect you to that customer in a way where they perceive that you're the right person to answer back or make a connection with.
But when I said Mary, our salesperson, is setting up her whole process, that's part of what she's defining. She's creating her sequence of what the customer journey is going to look like, what all of the outreach is going to look like, and that's what you need to do too.
Right. It sounds like setting manageable goals and tasks that you can hit along the way to ensure that you eventually close the deal.
Yeah,
yes.
But making sure that the customer is engaged as a result of your outreach, or you're wasting your time and your talent.
Exactly.
If there's no engagement after the first shot, that is not the customer's fault. That's yours.
Wait, I love what Bryce just wrote in the comments, and he said it's the triple ripple. 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, every 3 months until they buy or die.
Heck yeah, Bryce. Appreciate that. And we're going to go to our last one
right
now.
Ripple this.
Too little time selling.
Ooh.
There may be nothing more powerful in increasing and improving sales than spending more time selling. If you are not talking to clients, you are not selling.
Jeffrey,
period.
Tell them your stopwatch method.
You have an iPhone or some facsimile. In there is an alarm clock feature with many different buttons you can hit, one of which is a stopwatch. Every time you're in front of someone that can say yes to you, you hit the start button. And when you hang the phone up or walk out the door, you hit the stop button and put it into memory. At the end of the day, recall all of the time that you spent in front of someone that can say yes to you. And if you want to double your sales, double the amount of time in front of people that can say yes to you. It is just that simple.
This has been a Seller Die Extra.
If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.